Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I bring you greetings from Ghana. It is very hot now in Ghana. Very, very hot, even to me. It's very uncomfortable. And people have started getting, especially people who are in enclosed areas, like boarding schools, are getting meningitis, CSM, cerebral spinal meningitis. You have to pray for them. At this time, you need to get out and be under a tree with the wind blowing on you. Very hot wind, but it's better. My family is doing well. The churches are doing well. We are gradually trying to move rural gospel thrusts to the northern part of Ghana. Like Bill said, maybe around the end of this year, I'll be moving up there. And then my son Kenneth will take over the ministry down south, where most of our churches are planted. I'm not growing younger, and that is how God has planned it. But I'm happy that I have had the opportunity very early in life, in spite of the fact that my father was an idol worshiper through and through. The Lord sovereignly got hold of me, and I have been serving the Lord since I was around 24 years, and the Lord has never disappointed me. Neither have I regretted it one day. God is good. Sometimes it is uphill. Sometimes it is rough road. Sometimes it is dark. But always, always, He has been faithful and been with us. So I encourage all of us to continue in our faith. Never ever draw back, because there's nothing out there. It's all junk. It's all dung outside there. And I don't eat dung. I eat food. Praise the Lord. Today I'm speaking on the topic, before the sun comes up. Before the sun comes up. And I'm taking it from Judges chapter 8, verse 13. When you read the New International Version, I am stuck with King James Version. I don't know what to do, but I can't bring myself out of King James Version.
Hallelujah.
But when you read the New International Version, it may not say before the sun, you know, comes up. But let's read Judges chapter 8, verse 1 to 13. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not when thou went to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. And he said unto them, What have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God has delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated towards him when he had said that. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over. And the 300 men that were with him faint, yet pursuing them. And he said unto the men of Sychar, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint, and I'm pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. And the princes of Sychar said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give thee, we should give bread unto thine army? And Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord has delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. And he went up thence to Penuel and spake unto them likewise. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Sychar had answered him. And he spoke also unto the men of Penuel, saying, when I come again in peace, I will break down this tower. And Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their host with them, about 15,000 men, all that were left of the host of the children of the east. For there fell 120,000 men that drew sword. And Gideon went up by the way of them that dwelt in the tents in the east of the of Noba and Jobiha, and smote the host, for the host were secure. And when Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them and took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and discomfited all the host. And Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle before the sun was up. Before the sun gets up. Now, can we have the video right now? It is about a school we have. And some of you have supported us in the past. And through all this support, we have this school. And the school is built among the poorest of the poor. And the exciting thing is that we are sowing the word of God in their hearts. Ghana is not like here where you can't preach the gospel in schools. You can preach the name of Jesus Christ. Lift him up. And we do worship every Wednesday morning before classes. Full-time worship. And the children lead the worship. They lead the praise. And then we bring the word of God. And here is it. Muslim kids are there. And we give them the word of God. And some of them accept Christ. They are afraid to declare it in the house, but they are Christians secretly. That is what is happening. So you will see some of them telling you, thank you. So if you are ready, I'm ready.
I am called somewhere. I thank you for doing all this best thing that
it's not very clear, but
bless you.
He's saying he's 14 years and he's thanking you for your help.
Thank you for what you have done for my school. May God bless you.
Baba, thank you, Baba.
I am at the cantina. I thank you for the things you've done to my school. Baba.
I am Sula, a student in Zion Academy. I am standing in front of the prison. Thank you for what you have done for us. Baba.
I'm Nakoda Esa, a student from Zion Academy Elementary School. I am here to thank you for your wonderful thing you have done for the school. We now have a new building and we can sit and learn comfortably. Thank you. I say bye-bye.
I'm Hafsa Mukaila. I'm standing in our bad meeting hall to thank you for what you did for my school. Goodbye.
I'm Mariam Seidu. a girl of 9 years, a proud student of Zion Academy. I'm here to thank you for the good things you did for my school.
We are the only school in town that has our own water system. So, well, thank you very much. On behalf of all these children, I want to thank you again for your help. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I lift up this bread of life to you. May you bless it as we break this bread of life. May all hearers be blessed according to the multiple blessings, different colored blessings, different layers of blessings that you are bestowing on your children. In Jesus' name, amen. Here is what I want to do. Rather than, you know, we have different styles of eating. Some people eat, others pick and choose. I want us to pick some, do some pickings from this place, some spiritual meat from here. And as we go through, by the end we get there, we will all have got a little bit of something for our lives. Before the sun comes up, what is happening in this world today is that the devil is fighting hard to take over the world and destroy faith. It is not only happening here, it's happening all over the world. But you are fighting the Lord's battles here in the U.S. You have your own peculiar situations and circumstances that you are going through. The problems you go through, which includes the cold, may not be what we are going through. You have to go through all this paperwork. I hate paperwork. I just don't like it. I like to be simple. But we have our own troubles. Our major trouble is with dust. I hate dust, but we have a lot of dust. Flies, mosquitoes. Now, those are physical problems. There are spiritual problems too, where people have been bound by the enemy. And we are in the business of fighting along Jesus Christ to rescue people from the very mouth of the lion. The enemy has stolen millions and keeps doing that. He is not relenting, and we are neither going to relent. You are doing your part as we are. But I'll tell you a little bit of what we are doing. Our main enemy is Islam. Islam. It is called the religion of peace. Islam. The lamb there is peace. But we are struggling. I don't know about here, but we are struggling to identify and pinpoint the peace in Islam. Because things that are happening, you know it, all around the world, doesn't depict a religion of peace. In fact, if you take out the religion, I'm talking about religion of Christianity, if you take out Christianity from this world, there will be chaos. The raw energy of the youth that will be released into the world will see this world going down the drain. It is our religion
which is not a religion, but a person that is keeping this world safe right now. Islam is our major problem. And then we have the worship of Mary. It's also our problem. The worship of Mary. People in this day and age where the scriptures are so clear and not hidden in Latin are still worshiping a woman called Mary. A woman that obviously must be honored for availing herself. They are worshiping her instead of the Creator. The third problem is the craze for money. Money, 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 money. Which is embroiled in humanity. People are saying that, oh, there is no God. And then when you say the fool has said in his heart that there is no God, they get offended. And humanism, secular humanism, is a huge problem even among the uneducated people. Those are the three things. And it includes, the craze for money includes magic prophets that are now in the church. Magic prophets. I call them magic prophets. And many, many churches in Ghana, and I'm not talking about your churches here. You just go there and all they are doing is, come and I'll pray for you to be rich. Come and I'll pray for you to get riches. That is all. And they will go forth and sell oil and sell even stones. They will pick up pebbles and sell it to people and say, take this pebble which has been blessed, a stone, put it under your pillow and you will get money. And people are doing that. And if your church is not practicing that, it looks like you are not doing anything. But verse number one, I thank God that there are always the Ephraimites. Gideon is telling the Ephraimites that this is what I have done. And they are saying, why didn't you involve us? There are still believers today who are earnestly contending for the faith. There are still believers today who are lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. There are still believers today who honor family, who honor marriage, who take care of their children, who don't abandon them. There are still believers today who are earnestly fighting the cause of the Lord. And they are eager not only to be informed, but also to be engaged in the fight. There's a different thing to be informed and then brought to church. But it is quite another to be involved in the church yourself. Don't come to church having been preached to, having been witnessed to, having been helped. Come to church and that's it. There are people who come to church and they won't talk to anyone. They won't talk to anyone. They will come, sit there. Once the church is closed, amen, he's gone. He doesn't want to talk to anyone. He doesn't want to fellowship with anyone. And when there is something that the church is going to do, he doesn't want to participate. Oh, I don't have time. Oh, I don't have time. Oh, I don't have time. But when he is sick, when he's in trouble, he wants all the church to come and help him. And that is not fair. The church is a body. And you have to play your part. The nose has to play a part, the hand has to play a part, and every part has to play a part. So, but if you decide that I won't play any role in the church,
then when you are in trouble, don't ask anyone to help you.
I don't know. It doesn't happen here, but it happens over there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Get engaged in the church. We all have to lift it up. If there's a burden, we all have to lift it up. If it is an elephant, let's all lift it up. If it is a cockroach, let's all squish it. Hallelujah. In verse 2 and 3, in verse 2 and 3, you notice that I thank God for all you guys that are doing here, what you are doing here. I'm aware that life here can sometimes be very more difficult than even among hyenas and tigers. I'm aware. You have to wake up at odd hours and go to work. You have to go. You have to run. Ours is a laid-back life. And we have something we call African time. We know about it. Life is not all about rushing. But you have to rush to catch a bus, a particular bus, a particular train. What is that? And you have to go through way, you have to pay your ticket, you have to do that, you have to do that, you have to take your children to their games, you have to take, sometimes I pity you people. But it is, pity probably is not the word, but I pray for you people. For the Lord's grace to be multiplied unto you. But I thank God for you guys. Now, in verse 4, he says that Gideon came to Jordan, passed over. He and the 300 men that were with him, they were faint and yet pursuing. There are many times that I nearly quit the ministry. Not because a certain animal was chasing me. Not because a certain snake was, scaring me, but because some of the very people I loved, some of the very people I carried on my shoulder, some of the very people I brought to the church and helped in their time of need, turned around and stabbed me in the back. Time and time again. People you naturally have to trust as spiritual people to raise up your hands in the battle. We're now pulling your hands down and cutting you. Sometimes the going gets tough, but that is when the tough gets going. And the tough is not just tough people. It is people who have been filled with the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power. And don't joke with that verse in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Never joke with it. Receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, you will give up. People who have been Christians for 60 years, 70 years, 40 years, they deserve the Oscars. People who have been married faithfully for 70 years ought to receive medals. Today, people get married 2 years. I don't think it is the will of God. We are incompatible. Who told you that you are incompatible? Who told you? Work at it. During the few years after marriage, there will be some kind of pushing and shoving. There will be some kind of misunderstandings. And you will think that, what kind of woman have I married? She is a woman. She is just like every other woman. You leave her and go to another woman, you will realize that, that is another woman. God is not going to create another new woman for you.
It is this same woman roaming around that you have to pick one. Unless you decide to become a hermit. So, look, when the going gets tough, call on the name of the Lord. Don't give up. And I'm standing here to tell you that it is worth it. It is worth it. Imagine going to school. You want to be an engineer or a doctor. And you have to go through science. Anatomy. If you are brought before anatomy and you say, oh, it is too complex, then you don't want to be a doctor. If you desert, you will not be a doctor. If you want to be a marine, if I had grown up in the U.S., I would have been a marine because I like that. I like to really beat bad people. That is what a special forces. I would have liked to do that. But imagine going to whatever they call, is it boot camp or wherever, and the first hurdle, jump over a little wall and you say, oh, I have arthritis. What is that? You are stuck. So that is how the Christian life is. Please, there is no simple formula. There is no easy way out. There is no easy way out of the Christian life. You need to determine that you will move on, you will plod on, you will fight on, whether it is dark, whether it is light, whether it is raining, whether it is shining, whether you like it, whether your body likes it or not, you are going for it. What is the use? After following Jesus Christ for 5 years, you desert and then die the following day or the following year and go to hell. I'm not going to hell. I have decided that I'll go to heaven. Even if God opens up the skies and say, hey, look, you guys down there, heaven is full. I'm not going to admit anyone any longer. I'll still follow him. I will still tell him that, yes, I won't desert my faith. I'm coming there. Praise the Lord. And thank God, heaven will never get full. Before heaven gets full, I will get there. Hallelujah. You know, each year, every year, the numbers of people in Africa who are looking for visas to come to New York or U.S. is astounding. It is astounding. You go to the U.S. embassy, and every day there are hundreds of people trying to come. And they are serious. They want to come. But tell me, how many people earnestly desire daily to make it to heaven? How many people give priority to their faith? People today have relegated Jesus Christ to the second or third position. First, I need to do this, and then I need to do this. And Jesus, are you still there? If he says, yeah, I'm still here, that's okay, now tag on. And that is wrong. Jesus must be first. He must be paramount. He must be the capital. He must be the one and only one before other things come. Praise the Lord. So though I am tired, but I'll still go on. I've been at this for 40 years. This is not the time to go back. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I have passed over my Jordan. I have burned my bridges with my band of my team. And my son, Kenneth, is on fire for the Lord. And I'm sure he will take over from me. The people respect him. And come the right time, we will anoint him with oil to take over. Paul Seydou. It's on fire. Dominic, Isaac, Abisolo, Iyaba, Kwame. And that Kwame is an illiterate. He's a blunt illiterate. Blunt. B-L-U-N-T. Blunt illiterate. And yet, I'm telling you, in the spirit, that guy is on fire.
He comes to a place, one of the members has died, and he's in the village. One of the members has died, a woman, and they have laid her in state. They are preparing to go and bury her. He comes along and says, "Hey, you people, what are you going to do?" They say, "Oh, she's dead, we are going to bury." And she said, "Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Look at her baby. Who is going to take care of that child? In Jesus' name." That's what the girls. Lydia. No. Rose. Rose. Sorry. There was no sound. Rose. Mrs. Sorry. Rose got up. And Rose is alive. Rose is alive. And this same Kwame was preaching. A woman comes in into the church and then starts to manifest the spirit of a snake. And she's hissing. And her tongue is elongated. And she begins to do all manner of things. And I don't have patience for those things. But Kwame had the antidote. He goes down, gets hold of her, brings her, sits her there, and says, "Sit down." She sits down. "Leave her." And the woman, as if something lifted her up, and she falls, boop, and goes, "Yeah!" And the spirit leaves. You know what? That is not about theology. It is about the power of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I probably, who am the senior pastor, probably would not have done that. I must confess that sometimes I don't get it right. Sometimes I don't get it right. But look at what he is doing. That boy is doing great things in that bush, far away from me. So we are going on, and we all have a story to tell, a testimony to share. And Zion Academy, that is the school. We are planting the seeds in the hearts of the people from diverse religions and economic backgrounds. Muslim kids are receiving the word of God. Where expedient, we waive the already minuscule school fees, $6, the equivalent of $6 a whole term. $6 a whole term, and some are not able to pay. A lady came to the school, she's crying. Her husband has taken all their money and drank it off. And so she's begging me to allow the child stay in school. And I say, "Is your husband at home?" She says, "Yes." I said, "Let's go." We went to the house and I said, "Man, if you still have a child in primary school, I'm older than you. So sit down and let me talk sense to you. What are you doing drinking with your money and not paying your child's school fees?" And immediately he snaps out of his drunkenness, because he noticed that I'm very serious. And I really put him in his place and gave him a stern warning. I said, "Tomorrow, bring the child's school fees or I'm at you. I'll take you to the police station. I'll have you arrested." He came and paid. Praise the Lord. I don't know. That method may not be good, you know, for you people, but, you know, it works with me. Praise the Lord. We malaria sometimes is wrecking our body. Sometimes we have needs, so many needs, betrayals, but we are still pursuing. Till the sun comes up, we shall not relent. Till the sun comes up, don't lose hope in your battles. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Receive right now a physical healing to your ailing body, a solution to your marital problem, a radical change and turn about of your recalcitrant child. Some of you have children here. And your children have been the cause of your trouble, your headaches. I'm telling you here right now, though I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, but I'm telling you that you are going to see a change in that boy's life, in that child's life, that child that is not walking with the Lord, and for which you have been crying, you have been weeping, and your pillow has been getting wet. I am telling you that something is going to happen, even without your hand. In verse 5, 6, 7, and 8, they refuse to help the work. They refuse to help. And there are people who have money in their pockets. But I'm telling you, if it comes to whiskey, they will buy the most expensive bottle. Whiskey. Gin. Gin means trap. And every alcohol is trap. They will buy the most expensive thing for themselves. But when it comes to the work of God, they are very, very, very miserly. Very, very, very particular in what they will give. And they will give below $5, $1. I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm saying check it out. Be careful. But these people told Joshua, why should we help you? Maybe you are sitting here and saying that, why should you help Peter Atia? Well, I don't know why you should help me, but the Lord has sent me. And if you help me, the Lord will be pleased with your offering. It is a duty, an honor, a privilege to serve the Lord. It is a duty, it is an honor, it is a privilege to serve the Lord. There are people who come to church only to receive, to be served. They refuse to get involved in anything, worship, youth, men, usher, visitation, etc. You need to be part of the active body. In verse 10, 11, and 12, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Psalm 78, verse 9. Psalm 78, verse 9. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. We have the power of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have all power in heaven and earth to do battle and bring under subjection all that oppose God. Let us march on in our personal lives as victors and not vanquished. The victory of the church starts with the victory of the individual. And the victory of the individual is not measured by when you are in the church, but it is measured by when you are at home. It is measured by when you are at your work. It is measured by when you are alone, when no one is there, when no one is watching. When you live a victorious life at home, and then I live a victorious life at home, Mary lives a victorious life at home, and if each of us live a victorious life at home, and then we bring it here, then the church is more than victorious. But if I live a defeated life at home, and you live a defeated life at home, and then we come here and pretend, we can sing all the songs we like, we can jump all the jumping we like, we can roll all the rollings we like, the church will not be victorious. Please. The church depends on me and you and you and you and you and you. Are you going to let the church down? Are you going to let the church down? Are you going to disappoint your Lord? What are you going to withhold from him? when Joshua and Co were pursuing, it is not that they were not afraid. They had fear in them. Let me tell you. They had fear in them. One time, I went to a village, started a church. A few weeks down the line, the chief and his elders attacked the members. One Wednesday evening, when I was not there, they attacked them and beat them and destroyed all our chairs, all our drums. They destroyed it and beat them. They were bleeding. They came to my house at around 11 in the night. I opened the door, and here they were, bleeding. I said, why? The chief has attacked us with his elders and other people. And I said, so you are crying? They said, yeah, Pastor, we are crying. And I said, well, be happy. Paul was beaten until he was left dead. So if you have received a little beating, why should you cry? By the way, let's go. So I went with them to the chief's palace. We arrived there at around 1 a.m. I knocked on his door. And his son came out and said, my father is asleep. So he won't come out. I told him, go and tell him. If he wants to leave, he should come out and meet me. And he came out. And I said, why did you beat him? Why did you beat my members? He said, because they are saying hallelujah. Because they are clapping their hands. We don't even like that name Jesus here. Why should you people be mentioning Jesus? Jesus. You are going to destroy our idols. That's why we beat them. And I said, oh, tomorrow the police will come for you. And then I left. I reported the matter to my senior pastor, who promptly sent the police and they arrested the man. He did the wrong thing. But they arrested them, put them in cells. Later, they were bailed. And then I went there to try to, bring down matters. When I went there, I sat in the chief's palace, in front of the chief's palace, facing this way. And when they heard that I was coming, they announced that the dog, listen to the word, that dog is coming. So come and let's kill him. And about 200 men came out with sticks, machetes, guns, bows and arrows, cudgels. They came and surrounded me, and I sat there. Do you think I was not afraid? Do you think there was no tinge of fear in me? When I had children, when I had a wife to go to, I was afraid. But immediately, I didn't run away. There was a welling, a swelling of faith and power in me. One of them came and said, he stood before me and said, listen, pastor, or whoever you call yourself, we don't want this church here. We don't want the word hallelujah here. We don't want you people to clap your hands. We don't want you people to beat any drums here. We don't want you people to mention the name of Jesus Christ here. Do you hear me? And they said, they went, yeah, yeah. After a while, I gradually stood up. This will be about 30 something years ago. I was much taller than this. I have since shrunk a little bit. I don't know. I'm going down. I thought I should go up, but anyway. But I got up and raised my hands, and I shouted at the top of my voice, shut up, all of you, shut up and listen to me. Keep quiet. They kept quiet. And I said, you are all cowards. You are all cowards. And you are not men like me. If any one of you thinks he's a man, let him touch me. and you will see something. And then I sat down. One of them picked up a cudgel and came behind me. He lifted it. Do you know a cudgel? Oh, it is a stick with a metal at the end. And he lifted it and was about to hit my head. Those in front of me who saw him were scared. And so when the look on their faces made me to look back. And when I turned my back slowly and fixed my gaze on him, praise the Lord. The Lord is wonderful. The Lord is powerful, all powerful. When he saw my face, something, the power of the Lord lifted him up. And he went, are you going to kill me? Are you going to kill me? And he melted amongst the crowd. He melted among the crowd. Then I got up again and I said, listen, the name of Jesus will be preached here. The word hallelujah will be mentioned here. We will clap our hands today and forever. We will build the church here. If you don't join, you will die. That boy who lifted the cudgel is now my senior pastor in the north. Elijah Iyaba, he is there right now as I speak. If you come to Ghana, I'll show him to you. Praise the Lord. And now he walks 8 miles to go to church and preach to them. From this trip, I hope to buy him a motorcycle so that it will ease his burden a little bit. But you know what? That village has a large church building. There's a mission house and everything. And some of those people came to the church before they died. Praise the Lord. Isn't God so good? And he's so wonderful. We are the victors. We are not the vanquished. Until the sun comes up. Verse 13. The sun shall rise on you. The sun of righteousness shall rise on you with healing and his wings. When we are victorious. Hallelujah. Listen. Today, I don't have much to tell you. All that I will tell you is this. You are set up for victory. You are set up for victory. You are not set up for disgrace. You are not set up for failure. You are not set up for uselessness. You are set up as an overcomer. And I don't know your peculiar circumstance or situation you are going through. I don't know. But what I know is that right there in that hole, the Lord is with you. Right there in the lion's den, Jesus Christ is there. Look, you may be in your apartment alone. You may be in your apartment alone. But you know what? You are not alone. You are not alone. Never mind the TV, the television. Jesus is more than television. He is there on your bed with you. He is there. As you struggle, he is there. Now, during the ministry time, the Lord has told me to focus on 3 areas. 1, good health. You know, if you don't have good health, you can't do anything. And the Lord is telling me that some of you are going to be given a 10-year insurance of good health. 10 years, 20 years. How many years do you want from the Lord? 50? Well, for me, if I'm here 50 years from now, I think I'll have to be in the museum. except maybe plastic surgery. Do they perform plastic surgery on the kidneys and heart and lungs? Transplant. Whose heart will be transplanted on mine? Forget it. I'll just go to heaven. Praise the Lord. But there is going to be a new lease of life to some of you who need it. So during the ministry time, I will focus on that. Good health and restoration. There's a certain restoration coming today to somebody. And then number two, family. The Lord has told me to pray for some families. You know, some of you, some of us have got stubborn spouse. I don't know whether there's anything called stubborn spouse, stubborn husband, stubborn wife. Usually there are stubborn husbands. As for wives, they are always gentle. But the men, we need to pray for the men. You know, sometimes the women too, a little bit. But spouse, maybe your spouse has a problem with something. I don't know. But the Lord said I should pray for a spouse. And then the kids. If your kid is not even brilliant in school, pull him by the ears here. Let's pray for him. For a breakthrough. A Christian child should not fail in his or her education. How can you come to Jesus Christ and say, I failed? Was he with you or not? Our children must go up and not down. Kids, and some of you have stubborn children. A child that is not walking with the Lord and doing drugs. We are going to pray so that that child will be haunted. At night, he will see Jesus Christ. And Jesus will tell him that, hey, you are in big trouble. Run to the church. And then he will come. Praise the Lord. And then maybe you may have a parent. You may have a parent. Maybe you are here, but your father or mother is not here, and they are going through some problem and something. Please, let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. And then the third thing is economy. Economy. Your country is a rich country. You have everything. But you may be lacking bread even in Bethlehem. You may be sitting in the house of bread and still hungry. And we'll be praying for economy, your finances, and you may be looking for a job, a new job or whatever, or you may be going through a bad job, and I'll be praying for these three areas, okay? In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God Almighty, I pray that your word becomes a blessing to your children in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.